On this episode of the Oklahoma Breakdown with Iker and Lehman, presented by Riverwind Casino, we recap everything that happened with the OU guys in the NFL draft and the National College Football Roundup. We discuss the Jordan Addison and Isaiah Wong situations that have everyone freaking out. And we finish up giving you our winners and losers of the weekend. Please download and subscribe to the podcast, rate it 5 stars, and write us a good review. Follow the show on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, and YouTube. Just search Oklahoma Breakdown on any of those, and you'll find us. All right, our man Michael Hostie will kick this thing off. It's time for the Oklahoma Breakdown. It's a beautiful Monday, May 2nd, and you're listening to the Oklahoma Breakdown with Iker and Lehman, presented by Riverwind Casino. Riverwind is Oklahoma City's premier casino experience, and your health and safety are Riverwind's number one priorities. There are so many reasons why Riverwind is consistently voted OKC's number one casino, but it all starts with their amazing variety of gaming thrills and excitement. Riverwind's beautiful award-winning environment plays host to more than 2,800 of the latest electronic games, with a huge selection of table games, including blackjack, blackjack match, roulette, and Teddy's favorite, craps. No matter what your game, Riverwind has it in spades and hearts. And Riverwind will be featuring live music and local food trucks every month starting in May for the Beats and Bites Festival. Performers include the Randy Rogers Band and Scotty McCreery. If you need help finding your way, just visit riverwind.com. Riverwind Casino, simply the best. Now recording this Sunday night, please leave us a 5-star review and a nice comment while you're at it. Busy weekend. Ted, we got a lot to talk about, man.
Yes, we do.
I would also like to say, Mother's Day is this upcoming Sunday, guys. Don't forget.
Gonna be here quick.
Have a plan.
I'm jotting it down now.
You have a plan. That's all I'm saying. You gotta have a plan. All right. NFL draft. I mean, that's where we gotta start with all this stuff. And a lot happened for OU guys in the NFL draft. And let's start with how the draft affected some of the current OU guys that are already in the NFL, right? As opposed to the guys that were going through the draft process. Got to start talking about Hollywood. I mean, Marquise Hollywood Brown gets traded by the Ravens. It was Hollywood and the 100th pick to the Cardinals for the 23rd pick in the draft. And sounds like this is something that Hollywood has wanted for a while. And he had essentially requested a trade after this season. And you got to give Eric DaCosta some credit for the GM for the Ravens, because I mean, they got some good value in the trade also. So you look at it, look, Ted, to me, it kind of feels like a trade that could be a win for everyone involved. If Hollywood plays, you know, stays healthy and plays up to his full potential, there in Cliff Kingsbury's offense in Arizona with Kyler, clearly that's also his relationship with Kyler has a lot to do with this, I would assume. And if, you know, you saw, you know, Baltimore had a hell of a draft. So I think they took Linderbaum with that pick that they got, and he's the best center in the draft and it wasn't even close. So could be a win-win.
Yeah, I think so. If I'm Baltimore, I think I'm probably actually really happy. And that's nothing against Hollywood. I think he's fantastic. He just, you know, it wasn't a great fit for them. Like, he felt that. And I'm sure if he felt that, they probably felt the same thing, right? So to be able to get a really nice asset out of that, they're probably happy. And then Arizona has to be happy with that. And I know Kyler is. Kyler needed an asset or an ally in the locker room, it sounded like. You know, it had been a little bit rough through the offseason. We heard some players saying that he was difficult, or they didn't have the greatest relationship. So having an ally out there, I think, is going to be a good thing for them. And I think the style of offense is way better for Hollywood. Kingsbury and those guys, they're going to find a way to get him in some space, get him downfield, use him as more of a playmaker than he was in Baltimore's offense. I like Baltimore's offense a lot. It's not a shot at Baltimore's offense. It's just different. And this is probably going to fit his style way better.
Yeah, it just wasn't a great fit for Hollywood, right? You think about it, and I've played in Greg Roman's system, right? And I know it's evolved over these last couple of years compared to when I was playing in his system in Buffalo, but it's a run first system. And there's not a ton of vertical passing in it. And it's what Hollywood does best, man. Use that speed. And you can say whatever you want about Cliff Kingsbury as a head coach, but that guy is going to be able to dial some stuff up offensively for a guy that has the speed that Hollywood's got. And I'm sure he's thrilled to be reunited with Kyler. Sounds like he had to keep it a secret from him. I'm not so sure I'm buying all that, but it is. Hey, if he was able to do that, more props to him for being able to keep that thing low key. But
tough to do these days.
That's certainly hard to do when one of your good friends, like former teammate, is involved. Like I can't imagine how difficult that was for Marquise not to tell Kyler, but you would assume Kyler Murray's really pumped about this. I think Lamar Jackson made it very clear how he feels about it on Twitter, which was something. And I do know Hollywood and Lamar Jackson were like real close, like close. And it was nothing against Lamar, right, and his ability as a quarterback or anything like that, or him as a guy, that had nothing to do with it. Like you mentioned, it was all about the system not being a good fit for him. And Hollywood, right, 3 years there, and he's thinking about his future, right? He's thinking about the next contract. And to get into a system like Arizona's, where they're throwing it around a little more, and Kingsbury's going to be able to get in the lab and design some things to get him some one-on-one matchups, I think it could be a really good situation for him. It should be. At least it feels like it's going to be a really good situation for him.
Yeah, I hope so. I hope so. Tough division, we know that. But the AFC North is a tough division as well. Not really made for small burners at wide receiver. It's kind of a brutal conference or division rather. So yeah, I think it's going to be good. And, you know, some of the stuff where you can get Kyler outside of the pocket, create some stress on the defense, whether he's going to tuck it or, you know, throw it downfield, just having that speed, man. And they've got a nice complement of wide receivers. Now there's really, and I don't really know what I think it was Kyler just posturing about the contract, obviously, but they've got weapons there. And there's really no excuse for what they've got at wideout. Now, could they be better on the offensive line? Yeah, and I think that's going to come. But that should be a pretty potent offense. As long as they can block it, they've got plenty of downfield threats.
Yeah, and remember, Christian Kurt moved on, got that huge contract in free agency, so – Marquise is, I don't know if upgrade, they're pretty similar players. Kirk's a little, you know, a little thicker than Hollywood, but I wonder, you know, clearly you want to get a guy, and you heard Kingsbury talk about it. Like, hey, I saw it firsthand when I was coaching against him in college. Like he knows what type of speed Hollywood's got, but this does feel like, Kyler, look what we got you. Mm-hmm. Got your college buddy, teammate. We brought him in. Like, what do you want to do here in the future, right? Because, you know, that's been a very public thing, him wanting a new deal. So it also felt like a display of like good faith from the organization, right? Especially Hollywood got the treatment, man. Went to get him on the plane. Like, he was in front of all the fans at that draft party. Like, they rolled the red carpet out for him. That was cool to see, but I think it's all geared toward like, hey, Kyler, we're doing stuff for you, man. Love us, please.
Yeah, no, I don't think there's any doubt about that. It was a weird start to the offseason for Kyler in Arizona, and it sounds like they're on better terms now, and they should be. You know, that's a big move. What they did, that's a big move. That's if that's not telling your quarterback something, I don't know what is. Just look at that compared to what the Green Bay Packers have done with Aaron Rodgers at quarterback over the last however many years. Still haven't taken a wide receiver.
Oh, it's insane. Like, yeah, I saw that list on Twitter. You're just like, oh my gosh, they really haven't done it once for the guy.
Well, I guess part of it is when you keep putting up the numbers he does, it makes it feel like you don't have to, but I don't know. Crazy.
I will say this. I'm excited to watch Arizona's offense.
Yeah.
This season. Like, that should be fun. And my only hope is that Hollywood stays healthy and he is going to be able to blaze in Arizona. And I know it's that weird grass. Remember, they like grow it outside and then they wheel it in.
Rock hard. It's fast surface.
Yeah. But you think about, you know, all the games they're going to be playing in California and stuff on those fast tracks, but he's going to be looking fast.
I agree. I think that's what I was saying. Like, that division is tough, but it's way better than playing up in that thick grass, all the games outdoors in the AFC North.
It's a better scheme fit and a better weather situation for Absolutely. Our guy Marquise Brown. I wonder, he has this big chain of him like in a Baltimore jersey. I saw it when, you know, the other weekend when we went out on Friday night, it was like him in a Baltimore jersey. It was, what do you do with that now? That's a question only he can answer, but I'll take it off his hands if he wants to donate it.
I think you just go have it redone. I mean, you don't want to just get rid of it. You can have a new jersey thrown on there. I don't know what it looks like, but I'm sure you could just change some of the lettering, right? No?
Yeah, you never know. People can do some pretty impressive stuff.
Right.
I'm worried about things that, you know, that doesn't matter. He'll figure it out. Not worried about the guy. So while Kyler was getting Hollywood and being all happy, our man Baker Mayfield, he can't catch a break, man. I mean, he just a lot of chatter about him going to the Panthers. There seemed like there was some serious traction. Talks were heating up, right? You saw all the people in the know in the NFL tweeting about it and just didn't get a deal done. It sounds like the Panthers, they wanted Baker. Now, some people within the organization maybe weren't so thrilled about that idea, but it sounds like they did want him, but the Panthers and Browns just couldn't work out what picks would be in the deal. And the Panthers wanted the Browns to pay a significant portion of the $18.8 million he's due in 2022. And doesn't sound like they came very close on that number.
No. And that's the big thing here. And I don't blame the rest of the league, because if you can hold out, if you can wait and force Cleveland to pick up that 18 and have to cut him and then bring him in at that point, be willing to do it. That's a lot of money, a lot of money. And whenever you know that someone else is already on the hook for it, you're not going to be very, you know, there's not a lot of motivation to go jump on that whenever someone else can pay it. And then you can swoop in. And I don't know. I'm fascinated by that whole situation. And I know Baker wants to be on a team, and there seems to be like a lot of, there's a lot of coverage on it. And, you know, people are kind of,
they're piling on,
painting it in a negative light for Baker, but I'm sitting here like, what in the world could be better than knowing you've got $18 million coming your way no matter what happens? I think he's in an awesome situation.
Yeah, and I was kind of bummed because you know how much I love Matt Rhule. That would have been really fun to see that pairing for me, right? A coach that I think is just a kind of a grinder, but like I think he would have been able to help Baker's confidence and like build him back up. You know what I mean? Yep. And then they took Matt Corral in the third, and I was just like, oh, I was heartbroken. But it's going to be interesting to see where things go for Baker Mayfield now, right? Because we thought he had some options, right? Carolina didn't happen. They took Matt Corral, so we know that's not happening. They already had Darnold. Seahawks still seems like the most likely landing spot because they had a bunch of draft picks. They didn't draft a quarterback. I don't believe in Drew Lock. Maybe they do, but I can't imagine that going from Russell Wilson to Drew Lock is what they want to do, but you never know. Pittsburgh was one of those places that had been rumored. Well, they drafted Kenny Pickett in the first round, so crossed Pittsburgh off the list. Some other places, New Orleans, even though they signed Jameis, maybe if the number's right, they'd bring Baker in. The Giants, have they given up on Daniel Jones? I don't think so. Are the Texans all in on Davis Mills? I honestly don't know. As we sit here right now, I don't know where he's going to land. I guess Seattle seems like the most logical, but you're right. That price tag.
I still think it's Houston.
You think it's Houston? That would be awesome.
I've thought it was Houston all along. And the reason I think it's Houston is I feel like because this was not a good year for quarterbacks in the draft, right? Next year is going to be quite a bit better. And I think Baker is he's a good enough player to where you go in. If you see something that you really like, you may be like, okay, I think we've got something here with this guy. And you can lock onto that. If you don't like what you've got, you don't think that he's going to be a guy that you sign long-term, it's a one-year rental. And if you can get Cleveland late, like to them, it doesn't matter when it happens. But the longer it goes, the more Cleveland is going to be backed into the corner and the more of that they're going to have to pick up of that $18 million, right? So Houston, they've got no reason to speed things up. You can sit back, you can play the waiting game. And if you get him, great. If not, no big deal. But I think it's the perfect one-year rental to get to the next draft that's going to be a lot better for quarterbacks.
Yeah, the interesting part for Houston, right, is does Davis Mills now think like he's the guy? Right, and is he going through OTAs and heading into training camp like our – because that would be – hey, and listen, if anybody knows that the NFL is a business, it's me and you, but that would be awfully rough for him to go through the entire offseason program only to have them bring Mayfield in late.
Yeah.
That'd be rough. And if you're Lovie Smith, you have to wonder how would that affect your locker room? And that's why I was really hoping that something would happen for Baker during the draft so we could get somewhere start developing that chemistry with his teammates, developing those relationships. Now he's just, he's in no man's land, man.
Yeah.
Just, and I know he's going to make $18 million no matter what. And that's awesome. Good for him. But still, you just, you're sitting there. It's only, I know I've said it a lot, but it's only a little over a year ago. He took him to a playoff win. And now he's sitting there going, what the hell?
Should have had two. They had the Chiefs beat in Kansas City. Yeah, it's wild. You think there's a chance he doesn't get on a team at all?
I would assume, because now the Browns could probably say, hey, we'll pay you your salary. We don't want you to show up, right? That's something that is, that's definitely now with my experience with that organization, I would not be shocked if they're like, no, you need to show up or else we're not going to pay you. I wouldn't be stunned if that's how they went about it.
Just put all the awkwardness on him, right?
Yeah. Right. And yeah, it'd be hilarious if he showed up every day and he was just like, I don't know. Baker's a super, super fun guy to be around. So I don't know if he could just show up and like just be a complete nuisance, but it'd be hilarious if he did that. Yeah. I would assume he'd be very professional about it, but I'd like to think there'd be a couple times a day where he just was a pain in everyone's ass, which would be, if you were in that situation, you gotta ruffle some feathers every once in a while, a couple times a day, you know?
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. Just airmail every pass, throw it at the receiver's feet. If they ever put you in, which, you know, they wouldn't, he'd just be standing over there on the sideline, twiddling his thumbs the whole time and counting the $18 million that they're paying him. $1 million a week. Not too bad.
Yeah. Not bad, but I would like for our guy to find a home so he can get on the field.
I agree.
Want him to be able to play for that big second contract. And clearly that's the goal. Get him somewhere soon, Cleveland. Come on. The worst part is Cleveland's the one that tanked his trade value themselves. Yeah. I'm not going to make it sound like they would have gotten, you know, a couple first rounders for him or anything like that. That's just not the case. But the whole way that they went about the Deshaun Watson situation, like, they screwed Baker, man. They straight up did, like, ugh.
Let the record show.
Brutal.
That what I want to happen is that Cleveland releases Baker, pays him $18 million, and Deshaun Watson gets suspended for a year from the NFL, to where Cleveland has paid $63 million for quarterbacks and they don't get to use either one of them.
Remember they structured Watson's deal where
they paid him $44 of the $45 million in cash.
I know, but it, like, technically it's only like $1 million for the first year. You know what I'm saying? The way that they structured it, they structured that deal thinking like, okay, yeah, something's going to happen to him.
Right. Yeah. I hope that they pay all that cash and don't get to use either one of them.
That'd be hilarious. This is, in a perfect world, Baker, they just release him. They owe him all his money. Cause that would please me on multiple levels, not going to lie. And he signs with the Lions and him and Dan Campbell are united.
Dan Campbell and Baker Mayfield were kind of made for each other with their mentality.
That would be it. Jared Goff's okay. Like, I could see someone making an argument that Jared Goff's a better player than Baker Mayfield, but I disagree with that. And I would just love to see a Dan Campbell team being led by Baker Mayfield. That would be incredibly entertaining.
Yeah, I would say Jared Goff may be a better player than Baker if he's in a total sterile environment and everything is perfect, right? Baker, I think, is a better playmaker, if that makes any sense at all.
Yeah. Yeah. All right, let's talk about the guys that got drafted. 7 Oklahoma Sooners got drafted in the 2022 NFL draft. Only Georgia with 15, LSU with 10, Cincinnati with 9, Penn State with 8 had more. Bama also had 7. So only 4 schools that had more draft picks than OU. Now, we're not going to talk about what happened with last season. We're not going to get people mad again. I feel like we've hit on that enough, Ted. We've talked about that a lot. But let's talk about the guys who had their lives changed. Nick Bonito goes in the second round, the 64th overall pick to the Denver Broncos. And you and I, we talked about kind of where did we see him going, and he slipped a little like we thought he might, right? Late second round, honestly, feels about right to me. Mm-hmm. And I thought the Broncos GM, George Patton, nailed it. And one of the things he said in his presser, and they were asked about drafting him, and he was like, well, we thought he was one of the best pass rushers in the draft. And he mentioned the bend, the speed, the burst, very natural, right? Pass rusher. And then he added, he needs to get a little stronger. Yep. So it's just kind of goes in line with what we've been saying. If he can take it to another level, right? And he needs to get stronger, especially in his lower half. Like if he can have a really productive offseason in the weight room, that defensive line coach, if they can get him working on adding some moves to that arsenal, like the get off's elite, man. It is. And there's not like a rush for him to play significant snaps right away. Like he can be a situational pass rusher because they got Bradley Chubb and Randy Gregory. So seems like a really good landing spot for him.
Yeah. They signed Randy Gregory to just an absurd contract.
Didn't he absurd. Sign it and then like immediately have shoulder surgery?
I'm not sure, but Randy Gregory robbed the Denver Broncos, robbed them totally blind. The guy has like 8 career sacks, and they signed him to a gigantic contract. It's absurd. But I think Bonito should have every opportunity there. You know, if there's one thing that I've seen in professional sports is when someone signs a huge contract, there's a lot of injuries and downtime awaiting them. That gives opportunity to whoever's behind them. That's going to go directly to Nick Bonito. So I think it's actually a really good spot.
Yeah, and there's still, I mean, there's still a lot of people there in that Denver front office. There's been some changes, right? But there's still a lot of people there in the, you know, kind of those higher up positions in the organization. And you know that they watch some Bonito and they're like, he kind of reminds us of Vaughn.
Yeah.
The bend, like the get off, like now he's got a long, long way to go to be as productive of a player as Von Miller, but I'm guaranteed that conversation took place. Are you looking up the Randy Gregory contract right now? It's 5 years, $70 million.
5 years, $70 million, and he's got he's got 16 and a half career sacks in 5 years. The most he's ever had in 1 year is 6 sacks. Think about that. It's crazy.
That is a little odd.
It's like crazy. I'm telling you, he robbed their ass blind. If I owned that team and my GM did that, I'd fire his ass immediately.
Well, and remember,
he comes with a bunch of off the field issues as well.
Yeah, that's the thing. He's had his issues, right? He's missed some time. And remember, we talked about it. The Broncos ownership situation is issue. That team is up for sale, and they got bidders. They're looking at the Randy Gregory's like line on the balance sheet, and they're like, "Wait, what?"
When someone told me that, like when free agency, whenever they signed Randy Gregory, and they told me the number, I damn near passed out. I can't even believe that. But hey, they're throwing money around these days in the league.
This is something that I'm not sure a ton of people caught on. Like, I love the videos of the phone calls from the teams, right? Even though watching all of them makes me sad because I never got that call, and it still makes me sad to this day. Like, I enjoy the reactions. And there was something that was funny about Benitez, because he was clearly emotional, like fired up, right? But Hackett, the head coach, was like, hey, man, you just come here, rush the passer, okay? And the GM's like, hey, you just come here and work your ass off, right? And the defensive coordinator was like, hey, man, make sure you set the edge. It was such a defensive coordinator line.
You got to set the edge too. Hey, listen, you're not just flying up the field, okay? You still got to have a little integrity there on the edge of the defense. That's great.
Yeah, it was a little something where I was like, that's
all in all, I think it's a good spot for him.
I do too. And I'll say this, you know, I was there for 7 weeks, 8 weeks or so, and it's a great organization. It's a great, the people in the building, like it was fantastic. Got an awesome experience. And the guy at the grill will make you anything you want. Literally.
There you go.
You can just say, hey, I want this. And 10 minutes later, it's there. You're just like, where did you get all that stuff from? Like, they do it right in Denver for sure. So fired up for Benito, man. And like you said, those guys get banged up. Like, he could be playing some serious snaps for them. So that'll be fun to watch. Okay. Brian Asamoah goes 2 picks after Benito, goes in the third round, even though it was only 2 picks after, but goes 66th, easy for me to say, overall to the Minnesota Vikings. And once again, the draft video, family going nuts, was awesome. He had the shades on, but you could see like the tears streaming down his face. Man, I was so damn happy for him. That's the good stuff right there, Ted. Give me all the crying draft videos.
Yeah, no, that's awesome. Emotional moment, being able to capture all of that is really, really cool. And I'm happy for him. And, you know, I know I've said this, but I think he's the type of guy that's going to be a better NFL player than he was a college player. And he was a hell of a college player.
Yeah. And you look at, I was looking at their linebacker situation. They've got Jordan Hicks and Eric Kendricks, like guys that played a lot of football, guys that are good, but you can never have too many linebackers that can run. And with those guys being established guys, hey, maybe he outplays him, maybe he ends up starting defensively for him. But, man, you really expect him to be a special teams beast for them in year one. Is kind of like that's where he's going to get his main opportunities, I would assume, is in the special teams phase of the game. So we knew that was going to be the case for him, and he's got all the tools to be a really effective special teams guy.
No, and that is going to be a defensive heavy place. A lot of emphasis on the defense there. It's going to be one of the tougher places. You know, is the day to day grind in the league, and special teams are very, very important for teams like that. So yeah, there's no doubt. Third round, you're unless you're terrible, you're safe. Being a third-round draft pick, you're safe. You're going to be on a 53-man roster most likely. So you've got to make some hay somehow, and special teams is probably going to be his best bet.
I was thinking about this because I was thinking, well, maybe it's nice because I've heard Minneapolis. I've only been there one time, and it was I was on the Saints, and it was for a playoff game. Dang you, Stephon Diggs. But it was an awesome city. I was like, dang, this place is awesome. And I was like, oh, I bet. Because I'd heard it's really cool in the summer, like when the weather is good. I was like, oh, okay, maybe he's going to get there like day one. Weather's going to be great. He's going to enjoy Minneapolis. And then I checked the weather. It was like 43
degrees.
They've
had like blizzards and stuff up north here in the last week or so, haven't they?
Yeah, it's been cold. But hopefully it warms up for him. I heard it's a nice city. We'll see. He's probably more concerned about the football stuff, and I'm over here like, oh, wonder how the weather's going to be for him.
It'll be good. He'll enjoy it in the summer, and They got that nice new stadium up there. They're not playing outside at Minnesota Stadium anymore, so that'll be good.
That's a surefire sign that I'm getting old. He got drafted there, and we had him on the pod. So like, Brian's an awesome guy, and I didn't check Minnesota's roster first. I checked the weather. What is wrong with me? Like, what? I don't know.
You're going to play football in Minnesota. Weather's a factor.
Yeah. I don't know why that was my natural reaction. I was like, oh, wonder how the weather is for Godly. Berrion Winfrey slides all the way to the fourth round, goes 108th overall to the Cleveland Browns. And you and I had discussed the possibility of teams not liking everything that they saw on tape. But I talked to a couple teams on Friday. And when it came to his play and what they saw at the Senior Bowl, some had a first round grade on him, some had a second round grade on him. But it sounds like he fell because teams had off the field concerns, right? Some things that happened in his past at JUCO.
He's got some demons, but
yeah, that passion that he plays with, that's gotten him in trouble in the past, and it scared some teams off. But if he plays to his full potential, this pick right here could end up being one of the best value picks in the entire 2022 draft. And I know OU fans feel a certain type of way about Cleveland right now. Well, they drafted three OU guys this draft. So yeah. I'm not telling people how to feel, but that puts people in an awkward situation. Now, they did Baker wrong, and Baker's the most loved guy like ever for OU football. So I think I still know where OU fans are going to side on the whole Cleveland Browns situation. But I did like what Andrew Berry, the GM there in Cleveland, said in that presser. Said they want Perrion to be the three technique for him in that defense. And I think if he can add a little weight, get a little stronger, right? Have a good off season. All he needs to do is follow Myles Garrett around like it's his job. Say, Myles, everything you do, I'm going to do. Now, Myles Garrett is a absolute physical freak of nature. He got drafted.
Don't take the sleeves off, though. You'll be getting that PED test when you walk into the facility the next day.
Yeah. Myles Garrett got drafted when I was still in Cleveland. So his first offseason there, I was there. Like, the guy is a freak of nature, but he works really hard. He's a weird dude, but like he knows the defense. He's a smart guy. Like, Perrion needs to pick his brain about everything and just do what he does when it comes to taking care of your body, preparing for the season, like all of that stuff. And needs to stay out of trouble, right? And there, believe it or not, there's stuff to do in Cleveland, just like there's stuff to do in Norman and Oklahoma City.
What?
You can go out. You can have a good time. But he needs to keep it laser focused on ball. And that all being said, that call he had with the reporters was an all-timer. I don't know if you saw it.
No, I didn't.
I mean, it's why we love the guy, man. He mentioned being a dog about 100 times, talking about his parents. He was like, I was a dog when I was conceived because my mom and dad were dogs. It was amazing. And I think my favorite line of the entire thing, like, this lady was like, why? Like, are you like this all the time? He was like, I'm juiced. No pulp needed. It was an awesome line. But yeah, the Cleveland media got a nice treat. Right. And dude, he's got to be ultra motivated, right? He thought, hell, maybe I go late first round. At worst, I'm going second round. You end up getting drafted in the fourth round when you've had the pre-draft process, you know, the pre-draft performance that he's had. It's got to be a motivating factor for him. And I personally think he fits in that defensive scheme really well. So
yeah,
it's a good landing spot. I know people feel a certain way about the Browns right now. I get it, but it's a good spot for Perrion Winfrey.
Yeah, I think he'll do well there. If he just keeps the mindset that he's had for about the last, 6 or 8 months, I think he'll do really, really well. Just continue to press forward, continue to have the energy that he has and work. I think he'll be just fine.
I'm with you. I know this next one made you feel good. Dalarin Turner Yell, fifth round, 152nd overall to the Denver Broncos. I feel like we should feel very vindicated by him getting drafted in the fifth round. He received a lot of criticism in his OU career, but this last season, I thought you especially did a really good job of communicating how well he was playing and how important he was for that defense. And this was kind of one of those things where you look at it, you're like, yep, fifth round, that feels about right with how he played in 2021.
Ball player. He's going to find his way on the field. And that's one of the things that I said previously is it really, I don't know where he's going to get drafted, and I'm not really even worried about it. And I know he is, and for obvious reasons, but if he continues to play the way he plays, tackle the way he tackles, come downhill with a vengeance like he does, run, I does all the things really well. If he continues to do that, he's going to find his way on the field, whether it's special teams or in a sub package, he's going to find his way out there. And, as a fifth rounder, they're going to have some capital invested in you. They're going to want to keep you around. I think this is a great spot for him. And I wouldn't be shocked if he works his way onto the field, for Denver pretty quickly. I just think he's that good of a football player.
Yeah, he can play. And I will say this. Having one of your college teammates being there with you, it's a huge help.
Yep.
There's just like a comfort level with it where, all this rookie stuff that they're about to have to do, he's going to have a guy that he knows, he can talk to, he can eat lunch with, like he can lift with. It's all this different stuff that, just makes you feel comfortable. Cause you get there your first day and you're just like, oh my God, who are all of these like gigantic grown men with children? And having a familiar face there, that's helpful. It's really helpful.
It's like showing up the first day of elementary school and a couple of your buddies happen to be in your class with you, right? That's exactly what it is.
Yeah, and except for in this class, like there's some old dude that knows you're there to take his job, and it's not exactly it's a professional environment, but depending on how some of those vets react, it could be a little awkward.
Yep, half the kids are going home. Yep. It's a cutthroat business, and having a familiar face there, and whenever everything is so weird and new, and you just show up, and you're one guy, and there's 100 other people there that you don't know, and trying to find your place in that locker room it's different whenever, because in college, there's some similarities there, but you're going to be there for 4 years. You just kind of know the lay of the land a little bit better. The NFL is a different animal. You could be there a week before you're cut, and it's a weird feeling. It's definitely nice to be around familiar faces.
Yeah. Okay. Next guy that got drafted, Mike Woods, in the sixth round, 202nd overall, to the Cleveland Browns. Another OU guy going to Cleveland, and man, I was happy. I was happy that Mike Woods' name got called because it didn't go. I have a feeling it didn't go the way he thought it was going to go at OU. And the fact that he still got drafted, I thought says a lot about just, you know, kind of his physical build. You and I talked about this when we watched him at Pro Day. Like, he looks like an NFL wide receiver.
He does. Yeah.
When you see him in person, like, just the smoothness and the fluidity of his movements. And I wouldn't be surprised if he ended up playing some. I don't think he's going to play significant snaps for them offensively, but he could be a guy. Maybe he ends up on practice squad and he's one of those guys that gets called up and down maybe for them throughout the year. Like, that wouldn't surprise me at all, because he's got, I mean, you can't have too many big wide receivers. I know he's not a huge guy, but he's a well put together dude. So you never know with injuries. So I think that him ending up in Cleveland, Stefanski's offense, I'm a huge fan of it. I am. I would assume they like his ability to stretch the field vertically. And if he can polish up his route running and become a complete wide receiver, which you got a lot of work to put in to do that, but if he can stretch the field vertically, then, you know, maybe he does see some playing time. I don't know. We'll have to see how that all shakes out. But it was good seeing him get his name called, because he probably would have, let's be real, he probably would have gotten drafted higher if he would have stayed at Arkansas.
Yeah. Yeah. I think a 6th-round pick going to Cleveland, I think, you know, you're going to have a new quarterback there. Everyone's going to be vying to get the chemistry up and running. So I think you could have some opportunity there. It's tough. Wide receiver is a hard position to make it. There's a bunch of guys vying for those spots. And what do they usually keep, 5 or 6 guys at wide receiver? Dress 5 on a game day for the active roster?
You know what he needs to do? And I know he's not as big as this guy. He needs to call Alan Lazard at Green Bay and go, how did you get Aaron Rodgers to love you?
Right. Yeah.
And he needs to do whatever Lazard did. He needs to do that for Deshaun Watson. Just like find a way to where Deshaun Watson's like, I like that guy. I want that guy on the field. That's the key, really. I mean, I know it sounds silly, but like, if he can convince the new franchise quarterback that he's one of his guys, like, that can go a long way.
Yeah. Be there at the facility anytime he's there in case he happens to want to throw. And you never know whenever you get that one-on-one session, and you just start building on it from there. And yeah, good things can happen whenever you're around and available. And hey, wide receiver is probably the most competitive position in the NFL right now. And it's tough to break through, but he's got some good tools.
Yeah. Okay. The next one, I won't lie, it made me so happy. Cause I think Isaiah Thomas is one of my favorite guys in the last 5 years. Like, I just love the way he goes about his business. He was such an unselfish player for the program, did whatever they asked him to do, and made plays, which I also really enjoyed, but ends up getting drafted in the 7th round, 223rd overall, to the Cleveland Browns. And you look at it for IT, I wonder how they view him in that defense, or if they kind of see him as a versatile piece that maybe they can play on the edge. Maybe they can, you know, bring inside in some sub package situations, something like that. It'll be interesting to see what his weight is looking like when training camp rolls around. I would not be surprised if they're trying to pack some pounds onto him. That would not shock me, but it was just cool to see him get drafted. And Oklahoma guy, he didn't play for so long and like just kept working and kept working, earned his way on the field. And over these last 2 years is, in my opinion, been, and it hadn't been particularly close, the most consistent guy on the field for them defensively. I was really happy to see him get rewarded for that. And I know it's the seventh round, but still, like, getting drafted is cool as hell. I mean, it's cool as hell. So I was fired up for him.
Yeah, it's awesome. Yeah, and his versatility is going to come in handy. It is. You never know what happens where injuries take place, and maybe you have to bump down, maybe you have to play outside. Who knows? But he's a guy that's got a good motor. He's super smart. He's athletic. And, you know, that versatility is critical. So anytime you can do more things, it gives you more opportunities to find your way on the field and make a final roster. So I was happy for him. Cleveland. Yeah. And it, just like we were talking about having that familiarity, it's going to be the same thing with Isaiah Thomas, Woods, and Winfrey.
Yeah. I thought Perrion posted quite a few things when IT got drafted. Like he's fired up. That's going to be a lot of fun for those two guys. Like yeah, there's no doubt about it. Last guy that got drafted, Marquise Hayes, went in the seventh round, 257th overall to the Arizona Cardinals. And it's an interesting landing spot for him because they're kind of loaded at guard. They got a lot of veteran guys there that are playing guard in that organization. And I know I was pretty critical of Marquise throughout the 2021 season. I did not think he played particularly well for what I felt he was capable of. And I think him going this late in the draft kind of, I don't want to say it like validates what I was seeing, but that's kind of, it's kind of how I felt. And I was still obviously really happy with him. Him and I've had a lot of conversations over these last couple of years about what he wanted his football career to be. And I was just happy he got his name called. But that could be a situation where he is, like, the preseason games are going to be really, really important for him. And it's not necessarily going to be for the Cardinals. The other 31 teams, every team in the league watches every single preseason game. And if he, when he gets his opportunities in those games, like if he can really show something, well, then hell, maybe the Cardinals keep him, right? Maybe that's, and that would be great. But this could be a situation where he gets released, he gets cut, and then hopefully gets claimed by another team and added to their 53. Like I could see that kind of playing out for him, but he's going to have to make the most of his opportunities because seventh rounder, when you got an offensive line room that already has a ton of guys at the guard position, it's a tough situation. But if he can play well in those preseason games, make a roster, and maybe it's not the Arizona roster, maybe ends up on Arizona's practice squad, something like that. But he should be getting paid to play football next year. He's just got to have a good offseason and then clearly take advantage of your opportunities when you get them.
Yeah. Yeah. Again, getting drafted is critical. It's a big factor. Gives you a way better chance of getting on the field. And the other thing is, even if your position in front of you is totally loaded, you never know what's going to happen. All it takes is someone getting rolled up, and then all of a sudden, oh my God, I'm right there, with the ones, you know, taking reps in training camp. So, yeah, just getting on a roster right now, getting in a camp is the most critical thing, and playing your best football. So, yeah, happy for him.
So, undrafted free agent guys that signed, Kennedy Brooks to the Eagles, got $240,000 guaranteed, which is real good.
Shocked by that.
Why didn't they just draft him?
I don't know. Isn't that more than, and I don't know what late round guys get now, but that seems way more than late round guys used to get.
Yeah. The NFL has increased in value. I have not looked at what the seventh round guys are slotted for now, but $240,000 guaranteed is pretty sweet. And you That's look awesome. At that. Yeah. Jeremiah Hall signed with the Giants. Tyrese Robinson signed with the Commanders. And LaRon Stokes. Look at LaRon getting an opportunity. I like
nice.
It. He signed with the Cardinals. Yep. So it is the undrafted path is a grind. And I just hope these guys enjoy the struggle like I did, man. It's you get treated differently than the other drafted guys. You get treated differently by coaches, by the equipment guys, by the trainers. It's a different path, but it all comes down to playing football at a high level. And I always say, you know, my two pieces of advice for an undrafted guy. Number one, when you get your opportunities, play at a high level, because that's really what it comes down to. And then number two, be nice to everyone in the building. You want people to like being around you when you're an undrafted guy. Don't be the undrafted guy that shows up talking a bunch of shit and you're rude to everyone because you got the chip on your shoulder. Don't be that guy. No one wants to be around that undrafted guy. Like, no one. So that's just, and I'm not worried about those guys at all. Like Kennedy Brooks, Jeremiah Hall, Tyrese Robinson, like those guys are going to fit in and they're going to know exactly how to conduct themselves when they get there. But I wish I could come on here and say it's easy and it's fun and that these guys are definitely going to make the team, but it's just, statistically speaking, it's just not, it's not a fun, it's not the path to a bunch of success.
It's tough. There's no doubt about it. I'd say Kennedy Brooks has a really good chance of making the squad when they give you $250,000 to show up. That helps a lot.
Certainly doesn't hurt.
And I was going to ask you, if you're drafted, you have a slotted contract, right? You get the rookie 3-year contract, correct?
Correct.
So if they pick you up as an undrafted free agent, do you still sign the same rookie contract?
Yes, just with a significantly smaller signing bonus. Because remember, hey, league minimum's league minimum for a rookie, right? So those minimums are slotted and negotiated in the CBA. And the only difference for a lot of the undrafted guys, and unfortunately, man, I was telling some stories this weekend to some people and they were just like, what in the, I was like, yeah, man, I got stories. But when you're an undrafted guy in that contract, you have an injury split.
Yeah.
And if you get hurt, like, and they, if you go on IR, you don't get your full salary. Guess right. What happened to this guy?
Not a very good split.
Not a great split, Ted. But what are you going to do? Not sign?
Right.
I mean, yeah. That's they got all the leverage when you're an undrafted guy. But Kennedy getting 240 grand, that just tells you a lot of teams wanted him.
Yeah.
And yeah, that drove up the price.
That's why I kind of asked the questions. I wasn't sure if they were able – like if they were happy to get him as a undrafted free agent and they're willing to pay more on the signing bonus because they can sign him to a different contract. But I guess it is the same contract.
Yeah. I'm sure there's some differences in there. I'm not going to pretend like I'm a contract lawyer or an agent or anything, but yeah, I wish those guys the best. All right, let's get to call your shot. And we asked you guys, what OU guy ended up in the best spot in the NFL draft. And this first one comes from at SR Burkhart on Twitter, who says with the Eagles run game, it really has to be Kennedy Brooks. Miles Sanders is injured a lot. And Boston Scott is hit or miss. He has a chance to do well. And I think that's why you saw Philadelphia give him the guaranteed amount of money that gave him. Like they know that he can come in and possibly be, you know, the third back for him.
Yeah. Yeah. It's interesting that he went undrafted because we all know that Kennedy Brooks is always kind of undervalued, right? You just kind of sleep on him and he shows up and he carries it, gets about 7-8 yards a carry, game in, game out, and you look at the box score at the end and look at the stats, and it's like, oh my God, Kennedy Brooks had another huge day. So yeah, and it's probably going to be the same thing there in Philly. Comes in, you know, under the radar as an undrafted free agent guy, and it wouldn't be shocking if we look at the end of the year and he's their starting running back and maybe leading the team in rushing. That's just kind of the guy he is.
That would be very Kennedy Brooks of him.
It would.
And we'll still be saying, well, he's just not that big. Doesn't look that good in the jersey. He's not that fast. It's like we said that for years, and all the dude did was get yards.
That's right. It's crazy.
And this other one comes from Ryan Wayne on Twitter, who says, without a doubt, it was the Hollywood trade to the Cardinals. Kyler's ability to get out of the pocket combined with Hollywood's determination to get off the defenders makes for a lot of successful broken plays, but us Sooners already knew that. He also threw in a hashtag boomer. Love it.
Yeah.
I think out of all these situations, right? And I know Hollywood's been in the league for a while now, but man, that feels like a good change for him. Like the more you think about it, like this, I don't want to say like it could be the resurrection of his career, because it's not like he was a 1,000-yard wide receiver last year, I think. But I could see this being like a really significant inflection point for his pro career. He could have a massive year. Or at least that's what I'm hoping.
If they use him properly, he's different than Tyreek Hill. And I don't mean to make that comparison, but I think he's a guy that you can do a lot of different things and showcase his speed like Kansas City did with Tyreek Hill, if that makes sense. I think there's good, better ways to get him the ball and let him turn the Jets on.
Cliff's going to run mesh like 15 times a game where he's just sprinting across the field as fast as he can.
Yep. It's tough. Tough to deal with.
All right, birthday shout-outs time. Happy third birthday to Savannah Grace Hewlett.
Happy 14th birthday to Matthew Bone.
Happy 26th birthday to Derek Pins.
Happy upcoming 30th birthday to Clark Beckham.
Happy 36th birthday to Brandon Brock King.
Happy 39th birthday to Dwayne Chaney.
Happy 46th birthday to Eli Cochran.
And happy 60th birthday to Dr. Rick Mooney.
Ooh, Dr. Fancy Man.
Doc.
Nice. We got some NIL stuff to talk about.
Yeah, let's go.
But first, the only place to stop when you're road tripping is Love's Travel Stops. Love's has over 600 locations in 41 states, offering 24-hour access to clean and safe places. Whatever your road trip needs are, Love's has it. Fuel, fresh food, all the snacks and drinks, including my favorite, yes, Java Amore. That coffee is fantastic. Love's also has you covered if you forget your phone charger or headphones. They've expanded their mobile to-go zone, so you can grab any of that stuff there. Make sure you download the Love's Connect app for exclusive offers from today's most popular brands. The Love's Connect app also includes a route planner and store locator. When you see that red neon heart on the highway, stop in and say hi at Love's Travel Stops. For a full list of what Love's has to offer, visit loves.com.
Annapolis Clothing is the exclusive home for all of your Oklahoma Breakdown merchandise. Gabe is modeling there. If you want to live your life in buttery soft comfort, go to opolisclothing.com. That's opolisclothing.com. And use our promo code TED, TED, for 10% off your entire order. You still get a discount on all of the OU and OKC Thunder gear as well. That's opolisclothing.com. Use promo code TED for 10% off. Buttery soft and 10% off.
And Bishop McGinnis Catholic High School. It's got a long tradition of educational excellence. With a 12-to-1 student-to-teacher ratio, no student is overlooked. Bishop McGinnis's college prep curriculum offers 22 AP courses. There are numerous clubs and organizations for students to join and is a proud member of the OSSAA. There are 14 sports offered. If you want to provide the best possible educational and spiritual development for your children, contact Bishop McGinnis Catholic High School or visit bmchs.org. If you end up going there, you can stay laser focused when your podcast partner is trying to mess you up in an ad read. Don't forget, financial aid is available. All right. National College Football Roundup, Ted. Do you want to start with the Jordan Addison story? Or, and I know it's not technically college football, but I think it, or do you want to start with the Isaiah Wong story? We got to talk about both of these.
Let's go with the Jordan Addison one.
Yes. Jordan Addison, really, really good player. So for those of you that don't know, he is a wide receiver at Pitt who just won the Biletnikoff last season as a sophomore. 100 catches, like 1,600 yards, 17 touchdowns. The guy can play. And there are reports that he is considering transferring and that USC would be his potential destination. Now, as we are recording this, May 1st is the deadline to get into the portal or to submit your papers or whatever. I have not seen any update, but it seems like it's going to happen. I'll say that. Pitt head coach Pat Narduzzi is pissed. I mean, absolutely pissed. And reportedly, he called Lincoln Riley multiple times on Friday to talk about the situation. Maybe is the best way to put it. How much would you pay for that audio? I'd pay lots.
I'd love it. And I'm curious if Lincoln knew who was calling him or if he thought it was someone just worried about his warranty going off on his car. You know, it's just a random number calls you, or I don't know if he's talked with him before, but that's got to be interesting. And he's calling multiple times, which is even better. I love it.
I can't imagine that was a cordial conversation. Maybe it was, but I like to imagine that Lincoln had to move the phone away from his head because Narduzzi was yelling so loud. That's what I like to imagine. Just like, you know, like, oh my gosh, he's mad. But there's a lot to unpack here. So I do want to say this because before, and I know everyone is going all in on Lincoln Riley with this whole thing, right? Tampering, like, you know, scumbag. Like I understand the people that are saying that, but this ain't a one-way street, man. This is a decision that Jordan Addison and his family are making. USC's not forcing him. Now, are they luring him? Yeah, but this is not a one-sided thing. So you look at Addison's situation. He lost Kenny Pickett, his quarterback. He lost his offensive coordinator. He lost his wide receivers coach. So I know people are pissed because of the tampering aspect of it. I get it. Whatever term you want to use, tampering, scumbaggery, I don't know, whatever you want to call it. But this is probably a decision that Addison's been contemplating for a while since the season ended. And he knows Caleb Williams, right? From the same area. Another player recruiting a buddy is, as far as I know, it's not against any rules. So my initial response was different than other people's, I think. My initial response, it was not like anger and outrage at USC and Lincoln. My initial response was, well, is Pitt going to be able to find the money to make him stay? Like, can Keaton Slovis not talk him into staying? Or has Addison seen Slovis throw? And he's like, nope, that ain't it. You know, like, that's where my head went. I know everyone's pissed off about it, and I get it. But it seems like this is what Jordan Addison wants.
Yeah.
Are people mad? I think people may just be mad more about the system. I don't know.
Well, it's hard to really comment because I don't know how things played out. If Jordan Addison, like, there's a reason he didn't transfer like they didn't lose Kenny Pickett and their offensive coordinator last week.
Right.
That all happened right after the season. So the question is, why did he wait all the way until now to transfer? Is it because he wanted to give Slovis an opportunity? He did spring ball and he doesn't like it and still wants to transfer. I think that's totally reasonable. After the offensive coordinator and your quarterback are gone and the new guy, you just don't feel like he's going to be able to get it done. That's reasonable. What's not reasonable is if Jordan Addison wanted to stay, likes Slovis, wants to play for Pitt, and USC through Caleb Williams is setting up and offering big NIL deals. And Caleb Williams is acting as the go-between because legally that's not considered tampering. That is where I think things become, you know, where people would get upset. And rightfully so. Like I could understand people getting upset about that because, you know, I don't know. Pitt's not going to be able to compete with the money. I think we all know that. And think it can be, it looks grimy, honestly, if that's how it went down. But I don't know. If it's just as simple as Slovis isn't getting it done and he needs a place to play, he knows Caleb Williams, that sounds all totally reasonable. Is that how it actually went down, though? That's the question.
So the tampering aspect of it, like I think it's technically like it's a rule, like there's a rule in place, but there's just no way to enforce it.
Right.
I mean, the NCAA they don't have the manpower to go investigate all these things.
Nope.
And that's why when I look at this situation, I'm not mad at Jordan Addison. I'm not mad at Lincoln Riley. I'm mad at Mark Emmert and the NCAA for screwing this whole thing up. I mean, going back to the O'Bannon case, right? And that which led to the Alston case and all that, like going back to them not having the foresight to see where this would go if they weren't proactive about it. And here we are, man. And I expect Jordan Addison to hit the portal and end up at USC. And for him to get some big old NIL deals. My only question is, like, when he hits the portal, does Dylan Gabriel know him at all? Any relationship there? Like, because
I don't know.
You and I have been saying it would be awfully nice for this team to get a star, like a star wide receiver.
Yeah.
And Addison, he could be the number one wide receiver off the board next year. Him or what? Smith and Jigba from Ohio State?
Yeah.
We could use him. I know that.
A bunch of people could use him. It's crazy to think that he's going in the transfer portal, and it's going to be, if he goes, it's going to be who can offer up the most money. And it's not an NIL deal. I know that it's going to be labeled as a name, image, and likeness deal, but it's not. They're giving a guy a ton of money to show up. Right? That's really all it is. Think about how far we've gone from what you ate too many servings of pasta and, oh, you got like a compliance issue out of it, right? Isn't that what happened?
Something
crazy.
That's not
like
what happened, but we don't have to. There was one too many entree options. OU self-reported it. The NCAA wasn't even involved, but people love the story. So
that's the thing, though. Like, that's how ridiculous it looks is you have to self-report on something that dumb, but, you know, players may be enticing other guys to go working backroom deals to get big NIL money. And it's a god-awful system. And It's not Jordan Addison's fault. It's not Caleb Williams' fault. It's not even Lincoln Riley's fault. It's the NCAA's for not doing anything at all as the landscape changed and then the dam broke and here we are. We've got this type of ridiculousness going on out there.
I completely agree. I think that there's a lot of people out there that are looking at it going, they got to change the system. Like that, whether it's, you know, putting a cap on NIL or, you know, you can't make NIL until you've played one season somewhere, or they want to make it, you know, take it back to where if you transfer, you got to sit out a year. They don't like the portal. Like, I'm just here to tell you, like, that stuff's not changing. It's not going back. And it's pretty simple. Why? Like, the NCAA, they want no part of the legal battles that would come with them trying to scale that stuff back. Because Brett Kavanaugh basically said, if you bring anything to us, you will lose. Like that's what he said. So I think there's this hope by a lot of people that this system's going to change, right? I think we're just going to have to get used to it, man. Like,
well, yeah, I think a conference can change the rules if they want to. If a conference, if the Big 12 or say the SEC, which no one wants to do it because whenever you change, you're at a competitive disadvantage. That's why whoever the first was to open up the rule about transfers being able to play immediately, everyone else just kind of had to follow suit because you're at a disadvantage if you don't. But, you know, the SEC could say, if you can't transfer out of conference into the SEC and be eligible to play immediately unless you've graduated. Like, they could do that. And that's not really it's different with the conference doing it and saying those are our rules and the NCAA saying you can't do that and remain an amateur, right? I think there's some difference there. So I think you could change the transfer situation, but you'd have to be willing to take the competitive disadvantage that would come from that. And other conferences saying, hey, this is an opportunity for us. So I don't see much happening, frankly.
Yeah. I do think we're headed down a path to where everything's just run by the conferences.
Yeah.
And it's starting to feel more and more like we're headed down the path where these players end up getting a cut. Like, that's how it's feeling to me. Like, cause this, you're right. This system, you're just like, there's only going to be more and more stories like this.
Yeah.
It's going to keep happening.
We're 1 year in. Right. And it's going to be the players getting a cut, man. That's a
got to unionize.
That's
collective bargaining agreement.
Well,
a lot of legal work.
If the players get a cut, like the that will pretty much eliminate most colleges from being competitive. I mean, there's only a handful that operate their athletic budget on a surplus anyways. So there's not much of a cut to get. Now, it would be like your whole pay structure for head coaches and all that stuff would probably have to change. And I don't even know how that would work.
I'm not going to pretend I'm an expert on this, but my assumption would be that whatever percentage, whatever, you know, salary, I guess is the proper word for it, would come from the TV deals. Just because there's just such a massive amount of money coming in from that. And
yeah,
I don't know. Well,
so what would happen there is like because where that money goes now, obviously it goes into running the program, but then it runs like your non-revenue producing sports, right? And like if you don't have that money left over for the non-revenue producing sports, then what are you going to do?
Yeah, I would like to think that this whole thing's just going to work itself out, man. But I just doesn't feel like a realistic point of view, you know?
It's a mess. And I don't know, like, I don't know enough about, like, how the money operates and everything to even, like, if you're going down that road, what's the point of even, like, the school thing is just a farce now. Like, it's like, if you're a full-on employee, why do you even need to go to school?
That's
because that's kind of the thing.
That's where it gets interesting, right?
Right. That's kind of been the conversation, is why, like, are you a student athlete, or are you a paid employee of the university? And if you unionize and you're a paid employee of the university, then what's the school thing for? Are we just going to keep the charade up of, like, that's why we're here, is to get an education? Is that what's going to happen with that? I don't know. It's crazy.
I don't know. Lots changed really quickly.
I know.
NCAA needs to hire a new president that can help get this thing back on the tracks, man, because I'm not entirely sure where it's headed. I pride myself in kind of being able to be like, oh, well, this and this and that. It's like the future of college football. I don't know. I'll say this. People are all kinds of pissed off about the rules right now. NIL, tampering, portal. We're all going to be watching Saturdays in the fall. I mean, it's just, especially around here, like, it means too much to us not to. So, yeah.
No,
I don't know. Do you want to talk about the Isaiah Wong situation?
We can. Sure.
Okay. So, for those of you that don't know, he was Miami basketball's best player. He put his name in for the NBA draft, but he has the option of coming back to school with how that rule works in college basketball. So, he saw billionaire John Ruiz give Nigel Pack from Kansas State, a lot of you will recognize that name, he gave him $800,000 over 2 years and a car to come play at Miami. And Wong saw that. Remember, this was Miami's best player, took him to the Elite Eight. He's been an all ACC guy like 2 years in a row, and was like, wait, 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 I'm better than that guy. And basically threatened. I don't know if that's a strong word, but I kind of think it's the best word, like, threatened to go into the transfer portal if he didn't get a new, better NIL deal from John Ruiz's company, LifeWallet, which is what this billionaire is running all this stuff through. And it worked. His holdout, it worked. Now he's not getting a new deal with LifeWallet, but that deal is going to stay the same. But John Ruiz came out and was like, he has my word. I'm going to go find him some more deals. So Isaiah Wong wanted a bump, threatened to jump in the portal if he didn't get it. And he got it. Seems like a hell of a business play to me, man. I mean, well done. Well done, Isaiah Wong.
Well, see, and that's what I'm curious in football how it's going to happen, because I'm trying to put myself in a player's shoes that say I'm a guard and I'm going into my senior year. This will be my third year starting, and some high school kid, never played it down, is coming in and they're throwing NIL money at him. And I'm like, whoa, hang on a second. He hasn't done anything. I can understand the frustration there. And at some point, it's just going to be like, everyone's going to do that, aren't they? And it's just going to have to, constantly be a, it's not sustainable. like John Ruiz may know a bunch of other billionaires that he can go out there and say, hey, I know this is a worthless endorsement deal for you to do for a Miami basketball player, but hey, would you just happen to throw down $800,000 to keep this kid happy? People aren't going to do this for very long. I would never do it. If I was I don't care how much money I have. I would never give any high school kid cash to go somewhere.
Are people just freaking out about something that eventually is going to stabilize itself? Like
perhaps
if, you know, 2, 3, 4 years down the road, like we work through all this junk, right? And there's kind of a market correction. Like everyone starts to come to their senses. Now there'll still be schools and alumni bases that are spending more than other people, right? That's going to happen. But I'm wondering if like we're all freaking out about something that eventually is like, it'll get to something that resembles kind of the NIL format and structure we were hoping for. I don't know. Maybe that's not a realistic thought process, but you're just saying that.
I think it all depends. So take A&M. Right, and the rumors about how much money they paid for that recruiting class, right? If A&M wins a championship next year, the folks that did it are going to say, this is the greatest thing ever. You guys want to buy another one? Let's buy another one for next year, another national championship. And maybe that keeps it going. But if they spent $30 million on a recruiting class where those guys just transfer out, they don't win the SEC, nothing happens. I would find it hard to believe that same group of people is going to continue to throw money at a lost cause. But I could be wrong. I don't know.
Yeah. I don't know. I feel like that was depressing. I feel like
it is depressing.
You and I are sitting here like two guys that love college football. Really, like, let's be real, made our names from college football. And the future of the sport is, we're being too dramatic, but like the Isaiah Wong thing, there's football guys that saw that and saw how it worked out for them. And they're talking to their agents and they're going, why shouldn't I do that? Like why don't we all do that? That's what my thought process. Like, I was like, damn, Isaiah Wong, like trailblazer.
Yeah.
They're going to call it the Wong, threatening to jump in the portal to get a bump. It's going to be known as the Wong.
He wonged us.
He wonged it. It's a verb and a noun.
Well, here's the thing. I think this is where the battle is. A lot of people love college football because it's the school. Maybe it's the school you went to. It's guys that are there. They're grinding out the student life. Plus they're going out and playing on Saturdays, trying to win a national championship. So there's that. It's not a professional sport. It has a different feeling. And it's starting to, like, the transfer portal alone starts to make it kind of lose that same feeling. And this is less about, like, our guys, like, our school, and more about who can we pay to come in here. They don't care anything about us. Like, what we care about is our school and our tradition and how we built it through the years and some of the guys that did things in the past and what they went through. And it's like, you want to like perpetuate that feeling. Right. But then it just turns into, well, who can we just pay to come in? They don't care about OU. They don't care about our traditions. They don't care about anything that they just care about what some outside force is going to pay them to show up and do their thing. It just kind of changes the whole feeling of college football. And a lot of people don't like professional football. They like college football. They like college sports because of that reason. And it just kind of, it loses that special feeling a little bit. And maybe in a couple of years, people just get used to it and we don't really care. You know, it's just that change right now, I think, has a lot of people feeling really weird about it. And maybe you just get used to it and it's how we do business and how the game is played now and you move on. Or maybe some people would just continue to be turned off by it. I don't know.
Yeah. That emotional connection, right, between the fan base and the players. I don't know. I'm hoping we don't lose that, because that's kind of my favorite part. So,
yeah. I think that's everyone's favorite part.
I feel like we're making people sad with this. let's stop. Let's move on to winners and losers. I'm calling it. But first,
it's time to get back out on the golf course, people. And there's nothing better to drink on the course than the number one seltzer in golf, Clubby Seltzers. Clubby Seltzers is an Oklahoma company that is already winning national awards because their product is delicious. Tastes exactly like a club special, but it's a seltzer. They're not just for the golf course either. They're perfect to drink by the pool, after mowing the lawn, whatever. If you haven't tried Clubby Seltzers yet, go grab some. You won't regret it. Clubby's first variety pack is coming out in May, so it's going to be quickly. To find a place near you that has Clubby's, visit clubbyseltzers.com.
Went to a charity event, cleats for kids, Clubby's everywhere.
Nice.
Drank a lot of them. That's whole good. Lot of them. Attention business owners. You need Insurica in your life. Insurica is one of the country's largest insurance brokers with 30 offices throughout Oklahoma, Texas, and the Southwest. Insurica is able to customize programs by accessing the latest information from many insurance carriers. They compare and contrast coverage offerings and pricing in order to design a cost-effective, comprehensive program to meet your business's specific needs. Insurica's clients become best-in-class businesses by working with Insurica's team of advisors to manage risk. Purchasing insurance is only one way to protect your business. Best-in-class businesses win by avoiding a loss in the first place. If your business partners with Insurica, you'll save huge amounts of money and take back control of your total cost of risk. I'm an Insurica client, and you should be too. If your business wants to be best in class, if your business doesn't want to get wonged, connect with Insurica at Insurica.com. That's Insurica.com. As always, Ted, kick us off. Who do you have as your winner of the weekend?
Well, I thought about going with the Ruckert kid from Ohio State for being the only player in the history of football to be excited to go to the Jets. Also thought about going with New England for taking a Tennessee Chattanooga guard in the first round that everyone else had like as a third rounder.
Cole Strange, you know, the best part about him. And he, like, I've watched quite a bit of him. He was at the Senior Bowl. I watched quite a bit of him. He's got some good tools. But yeah, no. I mean, he's just not at, like, now he's quick and like strong. Like you look at some of this, you know, like the percentiles he ended up on the testing stuff. Like, I get it, but like, you don't take that guy in the first round. I don't care if he wears the single bar down the middle of his face mask and it looks old school and awesome. Like, no,
he was also number 69 though, which is great.
Yes. I mean, there's a lot to like about the guy. The guy doesn't wear gloves. Psycho move. The guy has the bar down the middle of his face mask, which no one does anymore. Psycho move. And his last name's Strange. Like, the guy just can't be normal. I mean, his last name's Strange. So maybe he's the perfect Patriot.
I bet Belichick's like, hey, wait until we put some gloves on this guy. He's going to be amazing.
That's it. It's going to take him to another level. Yeah, no. With every, because I was flipping through all the different draft coverages and they're like, Cole Strange. And everyone was like, whoa, what? Like every single person.
But I ended up settling on wide receivers, man. Wide receiver is the new hot position. Gabe, 6 wide receivers taken in the top 18 picks. How about that? Insane. Damn. So wide receiver is now, I think it's official. It used to be quarterback, left tackle, pass rusher, corner. Add wide receiver to the mix. I'd say it's official, especially with the offseason we saw with some of the huge numbers being thrown towards free agent wideouts. I'd say wide receiver is the new hot position in the NFL. Now, it's always been one that gets guys' attention and always well-known, popular, but now it's showing up in the draft and it's showing up in the free agent contracts. They're breaking the bank.
Yeah, 17 wide receivers selected in the first three rounds.
Crazy.
That's a lot. Yeah. It's well, the game has changed.
First one went at like 12 and then like,
no, remember
15, 16.
No,
right?
It was Drake London at like 8 to Atlanta.
Eight. And then maybe it was 12, 13, 14.
Yeah.
Something like that. They just started ripping off wide receivers. There's a run on wideouts, but it's wild. Wide receivers, big money, big time draft picks, really impressive stuff. And that just tells you the game is more and more moving to the air. What can you do through the air?
And let's not forget AJ Brown gets traded to the Eagles and they immediately gave him $100 million.
Nuts. It's crazy. And he's a big, strong, physical wide receiver, but $100 million. Yeah.
Woo. It's a lot of cash. All right. Who is your loser of the weekend?
Well, there was 6 wide receivers taken in the first round. There were 0 running backs or tight ends taken in the first round. The first time in NFL draft history, no running backs or tight ends taken in the first round. Crazy. Crazy that went down. Running backs used to be the position. You take a running back number one and whoever the best guy coming out, that's where all the money was. Now it's all the game has changed a lot. Now, some of your tight ends that you see in the league are your pass catchers. That's where the money is. But, you know, traditionally that's more of a blocking type of position. And it's just crazy. No running backs or tight ends taken in the first round, first time in draft history. Just crazy.
The only thing that surprised me more than that was like the quarterback thing actually happened.
Yeah.
Like Kenny Pickett goes at 20 and then I think Ridder went at 74 to Atlanta.
Yeah.
I mean, it was like, even all the people doing the TV coverage were like, oh my, they're actually doing it. They actually think these quarterbacks stink like we do.
Right. Was it like a panic to just start drafting quarterbacks in the first round that you didn't think were ever going to pan out? It's smart. And I forgot that one of the other ones I was thinking about going with were loser was everyone but the SEC. Gabe, SEC number one in draft picks, 16 straight years now. The SEC has been number one. And I don't see that changing for a long time.
It's, in my opinion, the gap's only going to continue to widen.
Yep.
But they have 65 picks.
Crazy, crazy numbers.
It's like there's a lot of talented football players in that league or something.
Yeah, a quarter of them came from one team, Georgia, 15.
Whew. Yeah. That's a perfect segue into my winner and loser of the weekend. But first,
First Fidelity Bank is a full-service financial institution based in Oklahoma with tailored solutions for all your personal and business needs, checking accounts, saving accounts, home loans, and much more. They do it all. Whether it's online banking from your computer or mobile banking from your phone, everything is stress-free with FFB. Making mobile deposits, paying bills online, and moving money to different accounts could not be easier. First Fidelity Bank provides free ATMs worldwide, making banking convenient wherever you are. They also give back to the community. FFB donates a total of more than $500,000 to local charities and educational foundations. Make your life easier and go bank with First Fidelity Bank. Visit ffb.com for more information.
And make sure, if you're a whiskey or bourbon drinker, stop what you're doing, head to your favorite liquor store, and buy some Balcones products. You got to grab some of Balcones Lineage Single Malt Whiskey. It was just voted one of the top 20 whiskeys in the world by Whiskey Advocate, and you'll be shocked by how affordable it is. Also, you got to snag some of Balcones Baby Blue Corn Whiskey.
It's made from blue corn. That's the fancy corn.
And that is why it has won more than 25 awards. You almost forgot. Last but certainly not least, you got to buy some of Balcones Pot Still Bourbon. Its big flavors make it the perfect bourbon to drink year-round. Remember, back in 2012, Balcones Single Malt won the best in-glass competition, beating brands like Johnnie Walker and Macallan, and became the first American distillery to win that competition. This stuff is the real deal, people. If you love great whiskey and bourbon at a great price, then Balcones products are the only way to go. The whiskey may be made in Texas, but the owners, yeah, they're from Oklahoma. To find a liquor store that has it, visit BalconesDistilling.com. I got a feeling Pat Narduzzi could use some Balcones in his life right now.
He may have had some before he called Lincoln.
You never know. All right, for my win of the weekend, thought about going with Georgia. I mean, you mentioned it. Five first-rounders, all on that defense. 15 draft picks.
That's crazy.
15. Hell, their punter even got drafted, Ted.
Wow. That's wild.
I mean, just beyond impressive. That's how you win a national championship.
Yeah.
That's how you dethrone Bama.
And here's the thing, man. Good things happen to good teams. Like, if you win a lot of football games as a team and you elevate one another like that as a team, everyone's going to feel the success, right? Everyone's going to be in the spotlight more, and it's going to end up paying off for a lot of guys.
I also thought about going with the Golden State Warriors to win game one in Memphis when Draymond Green got ejected in the first half, which I did not agree with that ejection. It was
what
kind
happened?
Of a,
I just saw like a little clip from it. And
it was a playoff foul. Like, and he like grabbed him. Yeah. And he pulled him down, but he tried to like pull him down gently, like prevent him from hitting the ground. Like, he got ejected 'cause he's Draymond Green.
Yeah.
Yeah. That was a reputation ejection. Like, if Giannis does that, and we'll get to Giannis later. If Giannis does that, he's not getting thrown out of the game. He got ejected because he's Draymond.
Yeah. For some reason, my hatred of Draymond Green is fading a lot. I actually like a lot of the things he's been saying recently. What's happening to me? Is that me or is he changing?
I think he's getting a little older. You're getting a little older.
Yeah.
And also, like, he's got some wisdom to him now.
Yeah.
So I know it still feels like yesterday he kicked Steven Adams in the nuts. Like, I understand, like, but it's been a while now. He was one of the reasons he stole Kevin Durant, but you know, it's been a while now. Like, hey, time heals all wounds. Is that a saying? I think that's a saying.
Yeah. Yeah. I think that's well said.
But I can't believe I'm going to do this. My winner of the weekend, the New York Jets. Yes, Sauce Gardner at 4. Bring all the chains, Sauce. Bring all the bling, man. You got some receivers in that division you got to cover. Man, whatever, you need all the confidence you could have. Garrett Wilson at 10. Really like that guy. Traded back and landed Jermaine Johnson, a guy that some
Beast.
People thought was like, some people thought he was the best like pure pass rusher in the draft.
He's a beast. Yeah.
They got him at 26. I mean, one of the premier edge rushers in the draft, they got him at 26.
If he would have gone at 10 or 12, no one would have batted an eye.
No. Like, not at all. And they traded down and got him. I got Breece Hall at 36, best
Great
running back
pick.
In the draft, and it's really not even a debate. You mentioned the Ruckert guy, like, I actually like his game.
Yeah.
He can block a little bit too now.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, they got him in the third. I know
not
it's
bad.
The Jets, but They've finished last in the AFC East 5 out of the last 6 years. But I'm not going to let that cloud my judgment. Joe Douglas had a good draft. I'm going to give that guy's credit.
Yeah. I agree. All of those names are really good players. We'll see if it translates to the NFL. That it doesn't always work that way, but I think it's a really good collection of talent. There's no doubt. And some of like the behind the scenes footage of how some of that stuff took place is really cool to watch too.
Yeah. And I will say this. I think they're going to have a hell of a pick at like 111 also. I'm pretty sure they were going to draft Perrion, but a couple picks before Cleveland took him.
Yeah. Yep.
No. So it was almost
the Jets could turn it into some W's.
Got to protect Zach Wilson. We'll see if that O-line can stay healthy and hold up, but certainly gave him some weapons with Wilson. Hall. Solid, man. All right, for my loser of the weekend, thought about going with Joel Embiid. What did this guy do? I mean, guy can't buy a break. It was the thumb. Now he's got a broken face and a concussion to go with it. Happened when the 76ers were up by 30 on the Raptors with like 4 minutes left to go in that game. By the way, that was an incredibly impressive win by the 76ers. I thought they were going to lose that game for sure. And now he's going to have to miss the first few games of this series against the Heat. Like, does someone have like a voodoo doll of Joel Embiid and they're just beating the hell out of it?
I guarantee right now he doesn't feel like he's going to. I bet he's one beat up dude. Face crushed, thumb all jacked up. Probably doesn't feel like he's anywhere close to playing a postseason basketball game.
No, but he will because, yeah, he's a tough dude, I feel like. Mm-hmm. But also thought about going with the Texas Longhorns. 0 draft picks for Steve Sarkisian. I don't know what else to say. You went 5-7 and you didn't have a single guy drafted. But people are still going to put him in the preseason top 25. Hell, I was saying how good their skill guys looked in the spring game. They did, by the way. They looked fantastic. Yep. Quinn Ewers was ripping that thing. But, man, that's tough.
This is kind of proves my point. If you go back and look at Texas's recruiting over the past 3, 4, 5 years, it's not as good as Georgia, but it's close. It's where their overall rankings end up, right? And Georgia just had 15 players drafted, and Texas had 0. That's what I'm saying when good things happen to good teams. If you pull together as a group and win a bunch of football games, a bunch of guys are going to get drafted. You can't – I know Georgia has an excellent amount of talent, but you can't tell me that every single recruit that Texas has had over the past 5 years has been a whiff. It's not the case. It's amazing the difference of like development and culture and all those things. That's ultimately what ends up turning those guys into draft picks.
So here are a couple of products of the 2021 Texas football season. They blew their biggest lead.
Mm-hmm.
They lost the most games in a row since 1956.
Ooh.
It was their first time ever to lose to Kansas at home. And now that the draft has concluded, it is the second time they've had no draft picks since 1938.
Hey, smart by Sarkisian to set the bar extremely low on year one, right?
Yes. He's going for the most improved coach award this year. All right, but my loser of the weekend, the Boston Celtics, man, they got a Giannis problem. And, I mean, the Bucks without Chris Middleton, the Milwaukee Bucks went to Boston and took game one from the Celtics, 101-89, and it really wasn't that close. Giannis is, I mean, he's the best player on the planet. He is. I mean, and as good as the Celtics are defensively, they had no answer for him in transition, in the half court. when he was in the paint. Like, they, none. And when you look at what the Celtics did to the Nets in that last series, like, they beat the hell out of KD and Kyrie. Super physical with them. Giannis bullied their ass. Like, they just couldn't do it to him. And, I mean, 24 points, 13 rebounds, 12 assists. At that size, like, he's just running in transition, like, with the ball in his head. Like, he...
nothing you can do.
I feel like we don't appreciate him enough. Like, he is an absolute freak of nature.
Yeah. He is. What, a year ago, 2 years ago, he was the talk of the NBA, and for whatever reason, that faded pretty dramatically, and he's showing up again. And just a quick little reminder that there's really no one else like him in the league.
Yeah, and Drew Holiday was awesome in that game. Crazy Eyes Bobby Portis, some big-time shots. But the thing that stood out, like, the Bucks defense, Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown, they had a tough time. And they missed some shots. Like, they didn't shoot it well. They'll shoot it better than they did in that game. But the Bucks made them work and work to get open looks. And I'll say Marcus Smart didn't look like he was having much fun once he got that stinger. Man, hey, the green hair looked solid. I liked it. Looked good. But he's got to be better if they want to win this series, especially when Middleton gets back. Sounds like he may be back game three, maybe game four. But they got to find a way to slow down Giannis. And the problem is, I don't think there is a way to slow down that dude. Like, there's just,
whenever you don't have, it's hard whenever you just can't throw more size at him and athleticism at him, because he's gonna win that trump every single time. You know, it's tough.
I guess you just have to hope that Drew Holiday doesn't shoot it that well, and that Bobby Portis doesn't hit those shots, and like Connaughton doesn't hit open threes, and like, you just have to hope the other guys miss. There's no stopping that dude, especially he's hitting his free throws at a pretty high clip. Like, I don't know what you do. Guy's a freak of nature.
Hope that he hurts his thumb and breaks his face.
And gets a concussion in the process. Poor Joel Embiid, man. Like, he's so fun to watch, too. That's a bummer. All right. Episode 210 in the books. We'll have a new podcast that'll drop Thursday morning. Just a reminder, you can hear Teddy from 3 to 6 on 94.7 The Ref. You can hear me from 3 to 5 on SiriusXM Big 12 Radio, Channel 375. Hope you all have a great week. Don't forget, Mother's Day coming up Sunday. Plan accordingly, gentlemen. Until next time, we appreciate y'all for listening. Do what you always do, Oklahoma. Take care of each other. Just one.